It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive
Judge
Voices
Ketanji
Network.
Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will be confirmed as the newest Supreme Court justice by the end of the week. After the Senate Judiciary Committee vote was tied 11-11, the full body voted 53-47 to discharge the nomination from the committee. We already knew that Susan Collins supported her confirmation, but on Monday, Republican Senators Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney also voted yes. Both cited her qualifications, record, and experience as reasons for their vote, Murkowski adding, quote, "It also rests on my rejection of the corrosive politicization of the review process for Supreme Court nominees, which on both sides of the aisle is growing worse and more detached from reality by the year." So this procedural vote sets up Jackson to be confirmed later in the week as the first Black woman and the first justice to have served as a public defender to serve on the high court. Now, in the midst of this confirmation debate, the Senate was also seemingly stalled on a new COVID relief bill. It's whittled down by more than half to $10 billion due to the Republicans' demand that the whole cost be offset. As that was happening, Mitt Romney announced a bipartisan deal on the package. But an amendment fight over immigration remained, so it's unclear whether they'll be able to iron it out before a planned two-week recess. Meanwhile, House Democrats are openly complaining about the lack of global vaccination money in the package, arguing that it'll be impossible to move on from the pandemic unless the rest of the world does too. And for that to happen, we need a global vaccination plan. President Biden on Monday called for putting Russian President Vladimir Putin on trial for war crimes over Ukraine's report that it found mass graves and streets littered with dead civilians in areas where Russian troops had just withdrawn.
He is a war criminal, but we have to gather the information. We have to continue to provide Ukraine with the weapons they need to continue the fight. And we have to gather all the detail so this can be an actual, have a war crime trial. This guy is brutal. And what's happening in Bucha is outrageous, and everyone's seen it. No, I think it is a war crime.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky toured the town of Bucha, where dead civilians were found face down in the streets, and urged the media to, quote, show the world what happened here. European leaders called for tougher sanctions against Russia. Moscow denied targeting civilians and accused Ukraine of, quote, stage-managed anti-Russia provocation. This morning, Zelensky addressed the UN Security Council.
I am addressing you on behalf of the people who honor the memory of the deceased every single day in the memory of the civilians who died, who were shot and killed in the back of their head after being tortured. Some of them were shot on the streets. Others were thrown into the wells. So they died there in suffering. They were killed in their apartments, houses, blowing up grenades. Civilians were crushed by tanks while sitting in the cars in the middle of the road just for their pleasure. They cut off limbs, slashed their throats. Women were raped and killed in front of their children. Their tongues were pulled out only because the aggressor did not hear what they wanted to hear from them. So this is no different from other terrorists such as Daesh, who occupied some territories. And here it is done by a member of the United Nations Security Council.
Zelensky also says the number of civilian casualties may be even higher in other cities liberated from Russian control. And he went on to suggest that they do one of two things. Either remove Russia from the Security Council so they don't have veto power anymore, or they should dissolve the Security Council altogether because it seems all they can do is talk. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what President Zelensky said. Meanwhile, new footage from the city of Mariupol shows the latest devastation, where Ukrainian officials say around 90% of residential buildings have been damaged or destroyed as a result of intense bombardment. An evacuation convoy heading into the city was also turned back by Russian forces. Well, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change issued another report, and they're not pulling any punches. The takeaway is, it's now or never. They say even if humanity manages to immediately phase out fossil fuels and rein in greenhouse gas emissions, planetary warming is likely to, at least temporarily, soar past 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. Why is that important? Well, the 1.5 degree goal set in the landmark 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change marks the point at which climate experts say the world will reach a tipping point where even small additional changes could trigger dramatic shifts in ecosystems. And the possibility of keeping it to that point? Well, apparently that will require preventing greenhouse gas emissions from increasing after 2025 at the latest. And the co-chair of the IPCC working group, Jim Skay, said in a statement accompanying the report, quote, without immediate and deep emissions reductions across all sectors, it will be impossible, end quote. Jury selection began Monday in the death penalty trial of the young man who killed 17 students and staff members at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida in 2018. The now 23-year-old shooter actually pleaded guilty in October, so this jury will only determine whether he should receive the death penalty or life in prison without parole. The prospective jurors under consideration will return in several weeks for questioning about their views on capital punishment and whether they could judge this defendant fairly. But the thing to keep in mind is the penalty phase trial is expected to last between 4 and 6 months. Elon Musk purchased 9.2% of Twitter's stock on Monday, making him the largest shareholder in the company. He didn't disclose what he paid for the shares, but his stake was worth nearly $3 billion based on Friday's closing price. Musk didn't reveal his reasoning behind the purchase or his plans for the company, but he has been a high-profile critic of Twitter policies in the past, and he did say changes would be made. Stay tuned. And finally, because we need to end on a little bit of good news, one more reason to love Colorado. Joining a handful of other states in codifying the right to abortion in anticipation of the Supreme Court ruling on a case challenging Roe v. Wade, Colorado Governor Jared Polis signed into law the Reproductive Health Equity Act, which bans local governments from imposing their own restrictions on reproductive care. Polis said, quote, Colorado has been and will be a pro-choice state. No matter what the Supreme Court does in the future, people in Colorado will be able to choose when and if they have children. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.